tuning in to Rosie on the House. We melt away your anxieties and worries about anything having to do with your house, home, castle, or cabin. And today we're talking furniture. Even to the point we're talking about an $85,000 chair, recently restored by the team at Irwin's Furniture Restoration. Absolutely incredible. He just showed me a picture of that particular chair. But you know what? On y'all's website, y'all actually have a lot of before and afters of just everyday pieces that are burned, water stained. The photo you brought here in the studio this morning. Obviously a family heirloom, just a rocking chair.
Yeah.
You know, rocking chair probably carries a lot of sentimental value. I can remember a caned rocking chair we had that when we finally gave it, I mean, Jennifer pretty much nursed every one of our children that one rocking chair, and in one move, it just didn't make it.
was our first piece of furniture we ever bought.
It broke my heart to get rid of that, and we probably didn't have to, but it's been gone for years now. But this particular rocking chair, Tell us the story about the owner of this rocking chair.
This was very interesting. I was at the office. I got a call from an Allstate insurance adjuster that I'm familiar with. We do quite a bit of work for her. And she called. She said, Don, I have this lady who had a terrible fire at her house, just a real significant fire at her house. She has an antique oak rocking chair, family heirloom. She said she loves this piece. She's literally in tears about it. She said she won't let me go. I've told her over and over again, Don, this is way beyond restoration. There's nothing can be done about this. She said, Don, she won't let me go. Would you do me a favor? What do you want me to do, Michelle? I said, just please, here's her name. Here's her number. Give her a call. Offer to go over. I'll pay you to go over. Just go over and explain to her from an expert she needs to hear that this chair is not repairable. I said, I'll be glad to help. I call her. Go over. Look at the chair. And she literally had tears rolling down her face. This was really important. I think it was her grandmother's, maybe her great-grandmother's. And after I got done looking at it and assessing and evaluating all of it, you know, I determined, I said, you know, good news is this is repairable. So
tears of joy.
It was an interesting project. And you're right about rocking chairs. There's just something about a rocking chair that speaks comfort and nurture. And it's just a feel-good piece of furniture. And we really love working on antiques. So this was very exciting to be able to do this and restore her family memories. It was really special.
That's awesome. We've got people here online waiting to talk to you and ask you questions. Let's see if we can get to a couple of callers. As you hear us, take care of callers. If you've got a question about restoring or refinishing any piece of furniture at your home, give us a call. You'll have an opportunity to talk to our expert here, Don Irwin from Irwin's Furniture Restoration in Phoenix, 1-888-767-4348. You don't have to be the owner of an $85,000 chair to call in.
Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm so glad to get in and hopefully get my question answered.
Go ahead.
So I inherited some black walnut from my wife's side of the family and built a entry bench kind of storage unit for my family. And it actually can seat five. So I just want to know, first of all, if a chair is worth $85,000, what would a bench that seats five people? If I could even get $30,000 for it, I'd be thrilled.
You'd be happy.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that makes that so rare is walnut is, you know, that's a little bit more readily available. What was the name of this wood, Don?
Wong holly.
Wong holly. And you were saying it could take 100 years to grow a 12-inch diameter.
Incredibly slow-growing tree, yeah.
And it's not a straight tree, so to find the pieces you need to make furnitures,
it's difficult. Yeah, it's very twisty and gnarly, and it's, you need straight wood to build furniture with.
So this particular piece of black walnut, what issues are we dealing with it?
So I've gone over it with some tung oil to kind of seal up the wood. It was kind of old and dried out, but because it's a bench and I've got three kids under the age of six, I'm wondering, I've done a lot of research, but I don't know, is there something that I should put on top of the tung oil to kind of seal it and protect it? Is the tung oil going to be enough for the bench part, or is there a lacquer or some other finish that I should put on top of it just to kind of harden it and protect it
from
the little ones?
Matt, let me make sure that I understand. This is a bench that's being used indoors, or is this an exterior application?
It's indoors. It's right inside the entryway, and it's an indoor bench.
Okay. Well, as a homeowner, we usually typically spray a lot of finishes on, but as a homeowner, you're going to want to apply with a rag or a brush. And so that's going to determine in part what kind of a finish you're going to want to put on. Now, you said that you had oiled the furniture with a tongue oil.
Correct.
When you got this, was it bare raw wood and it hadn't had anything on it before?
Correct. Yeah, it was bare wood, and I planed it down, so I took off some of the age that had been on it, and then once everything was assembled, I did a couple of coats of tongue oil, let it dry a day or two in between. It's been about a week now, and some of the things I read said, well, wait a week and then you can apply a finish. Some said nothing works well with tongue oil, so I'm getting a lot of conflicting reports about what actually would work with it.
Right. Well, that's what I was driving to too, is there's a concern when you have raw natural wood and you put any kind of an oil, linseed oil, tongue oil in your case, you put that on there, it makes it a lot harder for a top coat finish to adhere properly. What I'd probably recommend, and it's inside, you're doing it as a homeowner, I would suggest that you go to, like a Lowe's or a Home Depot, an Ace Hardware, and get a urethane product. I would thin it down with about 10% mineral spirits, apply it with either a brush or a rag, whichever you're more comfortable with. Make sure you're doing this in the garage or the patio, by the way. Don't do this in the front entryway.
With the door cracked open.
It's going to be displayed because it can be a little messy and you need to make sure you have good, proper ventilation. But before you apply the finish, I would really recommend that you buy probably about a quart-sized can of lacquer thinner and get a rag, get some plastic gloves, and go over the whole piece. What I want to tell you is you need to remove some of that tongue oil you've got on there. You've probably got a little bit more on there than what will allow the new finish to adhere. So clean it up good with some lacquer thinner, then thin down some urethane with mineral spirits, about 10% thinning, and then go over it with either a rag or a brush and apply it overall. The first coat's going to soak in. You're not even really going to know. You're not even going to tell you put a coat on. And then you can apply as much as you want to get the look that you want. But if you're just talking about preservation and keeping it from drying out too much, two coats max probably is all you'd want.
Don, what is tongue oil? You know, I've used a lot of it. Danish oil I've used a lot of. I mean, linseed oil. What are the differences of those products?
Well, they're really pretty close to the same. They're made from plant resins, basically. And the viscosity is really what's different. Some have a heavier viscosity than others. And so it just kind of depends on the application that you want. You want a real fluid oil for the inside of your house because you're cleaning, you're polishing, and you're feeding the wood at the same time. Outside, earlier you're talking about Vegas and different things on the previous segments. Outdoor furniture, the tools, you want to really fill all the pores of the wood up to preserve it, to keep dirt and things from moisture getting in it.
I mean, years ago, again, as an apprentice in a cabinet shop, we were using Watco Danish oil for finishing all the wood.
Still available.
It's still available. Mm-hmm. And then that would cure and dry. And then it was Carnauba wax. Mm-hmm. And then we would wax it, and then it would go out the door. But, mm-hmm. I mean, all the lacquers and the varnishes and the urethanes have replaced all that, right?
They really have. You don't see many people waxing furniture anymore. There's nothing wrong with doing it necessarily, but it's just not trendy. It's just not used a lot. The synthetic finishes have kind of taken over.
I can tell you one thing. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Mark wants to talk about refinishing a banister.
Good.
Steven wants to talk about a wood countertop. But we're going to go to another Mark online. This is a 1865 Oregon that he wants to talk about.
How
refinishing.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mark, tell us what you got.
Well, as you said, 1865 foot operated pump keyboard organ, and there was a heavy smoker in the house, and of course all the micro dust in the Arizona interiors. So it's got this film of cigarette smoke and fine dust. And before I use the lemon oil, as your guest says, I really think I should wipe it down to clean that stuff off a little bit? Should I use water or some mild detergent? How do I do that?
Great question. We got just the guy for you here, Don Irwin.
Mark, as you're talking about this, I'm visualizing one of those bellows pump organs that we did some work on not too long ago. But water isn't going to do it. Smoke tends to be oily, greasy, so you're going to need something that will cut through that. And I assume you're going to be doing this in your house. There's a product called Odorless Mineral Spirits. It's one of the best degreasers there is. It's even safe to use without gloves. It's not, toxic or anything. You can get it at any of the home improvement stores. Odorless mineral spirits. And don't get your soft cotton cloth very damp with it. You want to go very light with this. It won't take much. And then just the weight of your hand pressure going over the furniture, and just wipe all the surfaces off, and you will cut right through that smoke residue with no problem. If you feel like you detect any smoke odor left, at the home improvement stores, there is an aerosol can of, I think it's just called smoke eliminator, but it's safe to spray on furniture, and you can just spritz that on your furniture, and that'll, it's kind of a ozoning process, basically.
Now, you're talking about this as being a very mild product. You don't need gloves, anything like that. But this is a very antique piece. Is there any reason he should start on the side or where no one sees it to start getting the hang of it? Or is it really that bulletproof for damaging?
That's always a safe bet, Romy, to do it that way. But it really is kind of a bulletproof thing, whether it's probably a shellac finish. But regardless of what type of finish he has on there, the odorless mineral spirits aren't going to hurt it. Very safe product.
Sounds like a great piece. Yeah. We're going to have to, when you get it done, Mark, we want you to call us back and play it.
Yeah, there you go, yes.
You're going to play the intro music for an entire hour.
I'd love a before and after picture.
I wish I was in the land of Dixie, right? On the 1865 pump organ.